The Good News Broadcasting Association presents Back to the Bible. I hope you'll join us for the next half hour as we present some beautiful music which expresses God's love and faithfulness. We have a special guest speaker on today's program, and he'll be introduced by Theodore Epp.
I love to tell the story.
Cooking for a hungry family, that when they come to the table to eat what she but cooked, she enjoyed cooking. You know, the Lord wants to give us the things that we are hungry for, so bring your vessels, not a few. When we're hungry, He will feed us through His Word. You listen to Back to the Bible, and I'm your friend Theodore Epp. Well, there's one thing I especially like about the Scripture Text Calendar, and this one is no different, it's just like that. And that is that the scripture verses that are chosen are according to themes each week. Let me just give you a quick sample. Starting out with January, on Monday, the first verse says, "Be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry." Tuesday, Thou art a God ready to pardon, slow to anger. Wednesday, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Thursday, "He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Friday, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishness." Saturday, "That all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you." So all through, you will find that the scripture text calendar carries out a theme for every week. I think you will appreciate this, and your calendar is waiting for you if you haven't written for your 1979 scripture text calendar. And then a prayer request, of course, for every day. And again, this word to the Faith Partners. Your calendar is being sent along with the Faith Partner Bulletin. You should be receiving it this week. We're doing this to save postage, which I'm sure you will appreciate. Now, we'd like for you to write for your copy. As I say, it is free. Now, after a couple of numbers of music again, we're going to hear again from our good pastor, Wendell Grout, who is pastor in Calgary, Alberta, and he will continue his series of messages on the Book of Ruth. And I know that this will be a blessing to you. Now we need to hear from you, and here's our address so that you can write. Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Thank you.
Up our story again today in the book of Ruth. We have learned in previous studies how that Ruth, a Moabitess, left the land of Moab and returned with her old mother-in-law to the land of Canaan. As you remember, she was left a widow, as was her mother-in-law, and both these ladies come back to the promised land at the time of barley harvest. It's a very happy time because God has visited his people and there's a great harvest. It's a time of rejoicing. People are reaping the bounteous crop. And it's at this time that Ruth, in her poverty, goes out to the field to glean after the reapers. We want to focus attention today on what took place in the barley field. We read in our last study how that Ruth, in speaking to Naomi, said, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." That word grace is a very important word in the second chapter of Ruth. In her poverty, Ruth moves to the barley field as a gleaner, and she goes with the hope that some gracious landowner will permit her to glean in his field. She has no rights. She has no personal authority to go out and demand that someone give her the gleanings of his field. She is entirely dependent upon the landowners to be gracious to her. She's really looking for a man of grace. And by God's providence, that's precisely what she finds, because it was her hap, as we have it in the King James Version, it was her hap to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. We want to begin our reading today at the fourth verse of Ruth chapter 2 and continue the story that is so beautifully developing in this Old Testament book. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." In this greeting, we are immediately drawn to Boaz. He's a wealthy landowner, but we don't sense that there's pride or arrogancy. We don't sense that this man is taking advantage of his wealth or his position. When he comes to the field in the morning, he greets his reapers with a benediction, and they respond in like kind. This was excellent management labor relations. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them.
Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. This gracious man, Boaz, I believe speaks to us, and very beautifully typifies for us the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus really is the man of grace. The Bible says that he is full of grace and truth. That is, he is the man in whom we find the grace of God personified in perfect measure. And it's from this man of grace that the grace of God flows to your life and to mine. We are saved by his grace, and his grace sustains us. Paul says that his grace is sufficient, and we know it to be true. This man Boaz is such a beautiful picture of our man of grace, the Lord Jesus. Now, as we give attention to the man of grace here in Ruth chapter 2, we learn about grace. We learn about the manner of grace. There are six different things that we see here in Boaz that express to us and define for us grace. The first thing we observe is that grace sees. Boaz saw Ruth. He saw her there gleaning in the field. There were many gleaners, there were many reapers, but he saw Ruth, and he inquired about Ruth. He was concerned for her. He saw her a long while before Ruth saw him. This speaks to us of the grace of our Savior, who saw us in our plight, in our need, in our poverty, and took heed to our great need. The second thing we learn about grace from Boaz is that grace speaks. When Ruth was identified and introduced to Boaz, he spoke to her, and he said gracious things to her. He invited her to continue in his field. He assured her that no one would harm her. He invited her to come and sit at his table to drink from the water pots. He was very gracious in what he said. He reminds us here of the Lord Jesus, who speaks grace to our hearts. You remember the phrase in the old hymn, His lips with grace o'erflows? That's certainly true. In Luke 4:22, we read, And all bear him witness, that is Jesus, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Gracious words indeed. And then grace selects. Of all the gleaners in the field, Boaz selected Ruth to be the special object of his favor. He spoke to Ruth. He ministered specifically and specially to Ruth. His grace selected her from all the others, and she became the special object of his favor. You know, the Bible speaks about the election of grace in Romans 11:5. Election is a very great subject, and we certainly cannot touch upon all of the facets of that enormous doctrine. There are many mysteries about election, but all God's people revel in the fact and rejoice in the knowledge that we have been elected by God to be His own people. Jesus said to His disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." This was not to say that the disciples had no choice. It was simply to say that Jesus made the prior choice. He chose them first. And then in response to that choice, they chose Him and followed Him. Some people say that if you express the grace of God in these terms, that this will give license to people to live in sin and to be careless about their relationship to God and their commitment to Christ. But notice what Boaz's grace did to Ruth. We find her in verse 10, falling on her face, bowing herself to the ground and saying unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" Indeed, Boaz's grace to Ruth humbled her. It created in her great gratitude. We don't find her boasting of his grace or his favor to her. We don't find that this created any pride in Ruth. We find precisely the opposite. She became very humbled. And then grace serves. Boaz invites Ruth to sit at his table, and he reaches to her the parched corn. He ministers to her need as she sits at his table. The richest man in the land, a man with prestige and position and honor, and yet he stoops to minister to and to serve a lowly Moabitish maiden. He reminds us of our Savior, who came from heaven to earth as a servant, and who served his Father by giving his life for you and for me. And then grace satisfies. We read in verse 14 that after Ruth had eaten lunch at the table of Boaz, she left sufficed. Anyone who sat at that rich man's table had plenty to eat. He saw to that, you can be sure. He had plenty to serve his servants and the gleaners that were his guests. No one ever left the table of Boaz hungry. And oh, that speaks to us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always satisfies the hungers of those who come to him. He said, "You know, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then we have grace superabounding. Not only did Boaz feed Ruth at the table, not only did he permit her to pick up the gleanings from the reapers, but he actually instructed his reapers to drop handfuls on purpose. He told them to leave barley in order that Ruth might have more barley to take home after the day's gleanings. His grace abounds. That's a picture of the superabounding grace of our man of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come to the mercy seat. I couldn't help but think, as our brother Grout was preaching on the wonderful grace of God, that verse from 2 Corinthians 9:8, which has been my favorite verse in the Bible, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency, may abound unto every good work. Friends, God's grace is offered to you. Grace simply means He's giving you something which we do not deserve. We do not deserve salvation, but He's making it possible. We do not deserve a full, powered life, but He makes it possible. Will you come to Him that way with a hungry heart, and He will fill it. And if we can be further assistance to you in this matter, write to us at the back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. Well, I'm Theodore Epp, saying goodbye, but I leave you with this thought from the psalmist. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desire of thine heart.